Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So something happened this past Monday that affected the lives of countless families across the country. It wasn't on the news, but many people knew it was coming, and they had to prepare for it. I know our family did. It was the elementary school Valentine's Day party. In classrooms all across America, elementary school teachers had their students decorate shoeboxes. Then at the party, the students would go around and drop a Valentine into each box. They had snacks and treats and all sorts of Valentine's Day fun. You know these parties. And you also know the basic rule of this party. You have to bring in a Valentine for everyone in the class. Whether they are your best friend or not, you still give them one. That way everybody feels loved, which is great. You're not allowed to play favorites. But now, consider what Valentine's Day celebrations look like when you move on to, say, high school. I still remember what Valentine's was like in my high school. It was all about playing favorites. I remember there were flower sales the week leading up to Valentine's Day. The idea was that you were supposed to buy a flower for someone you had a crush on. Then on Valentine's Day, the students running the sale would go around to the different classrooms and interrupt what the teacher was doing, which annoyed all the teachers, and then deliver all these flowers. The people who then got the flowers would get everyone's attention for the rest of the day. The more flowers someone got, the more they were loved, or the more popular they were. Some people got what amounted to giant bouquets of flowers. Some people got one, probably the token flower their parents ordered ahead of time. And most people didn't get any. I never did. It was quite different than those elementary school Valentine's Day parties where everybody got the same. Jesus said, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same." So often in life, we treat others like we do during the high school Valentine's Day parties. We select our favorite people, show them affection, and then leave the rest of the world without any flowers, so to speak. Gone are the days when we make sure nobody feels left out. But that's not how love is supposed to work. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return." Twice in this passage, Jesus says to love our enemies. But what does that mean? We're not going to treat our enemies the same way we treat the people close to us, are we? Well, in one sense, of course, this is Jesus' way of saying, make sure you're bringing enough Valentines to the whole class. Whether they are your best friend or the school bully, you bring in a Valentine for them. It sounds great and works really well for school parties for young kids. But what about when they're all grown up? What about when you have certain people you hang out with? Then what? How are we supposed to love our enemies now? Well, think of it this way. Even though you surround yourself with people you like, I bet there are still plenty of people you don't get along with. Just talk to your neighbors or your coworkers. Watch the news. Read social media feeds and the comments people make. There are plenty of people in this world who you probably think are idiots. Maybe you can think of some of them right now. So what does it mean to love them? Well, one great way to do it is to just keep our mouths shut. We are so quick to criticize others. We say nasty stuff about them online. We say mean things about them to others. We are just so quick to put them down. So perhaps one way of showing them the self-sacrificial agape love of Jesus is to stop ourselves from saying what we want to say. In biting your tongue, you are putting their well-being ahead of your desire to say something mean. They are still children of God, and Jesus still died for them too. So they don't need our negativity. They don't need us to humiliate them. Consider the story of Melanie McCabe. She's a high school teacher, and every year she tells her seniors a story of when she was in the sixth grade. Her class was having the typical Valentine's Day party, decorated boxes, candy hearts, cupcakes, all that good stuff. And it so happened that Melanie had a major crush on a boy named David. Well, on the day of the party, she dumped out all of her Valentines onto her desk and saw a huge card covered in glitter. She wondered who would give her such a big Valentine. She looked at the card and it said, "To a queen of a Valentine." As she told her high school seniors, "I was swooning with excitement. Slowly I turned the Valentine over, and at the bottom I saw the signature and almost fainted. David." It was all too perfect to be real. Then my eyes traveled up to the writing above his signature. In large, uneven letters, he had written me a special message. "To the ugliest girl in our class." After a collective gasp, her seniors asked her, "What did you do?" "Oh, what do you think I did?" she answered. "My eyes filled with tears. My nose was stinging. My cheeks were burning. I was devastated. And I was so afraid that he and his friends were watching me, eager to see how I would react. Well, it ruined Valentine's Day for me. It shook what little faith I had in myself for a long time after." Sometimes this is how we show love, so to speak, to the people we don't like. We give them backhanded compliments. We insult them. We criticize them. All in an effort to knock them down so we feel better about ourselves. We take joy in watching them fall. But quite frankly, if that's the way the world was supposed to work, then none of us could stand under all the nasty things God could say about us. We have been selfish and mean and cruel, just like David was to Melanie. As we confessed, "We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves." And yet, despite all the ways that we are sinful and selfish, God still forgives us and loves us. And yes, I know we've all heard that before, but just think about how incredible that is. God gives you grace and mercy. There's a sign that I have in the wall of my office that you might have seen. It says, "Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve." But does all of this mean that we should just, quote, be nice to everybody? All right, this gospel reading even includes that famous golden rule, right? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Is that all it is? Just be nice? Well, the golden rule is important, but it's not just about being nice. It's about how God's radical grace for us transforms the way we treat other people. We show them love not because they deserve it, but because God has loved us, and we don't deserve it either. Showing love to others, even those we don't like, is about putting them before ourselves, which can be hard, but it can be done. Sometimes it's about keeping our mouths shut. And sometimes it's also about doing something uncomfortable, something that puts them first. It's about reminding them that someone actually cares. And that could mean the world to them. For example, Melanie's story didn't end with her heartbreak after receiving that Valentine from David. She went on to tell her seniors, "Now I refuse to cede this holiday of love to the meanness of one rotten boy. Instead, it's given me the motivation to undo the malice of David. And that's why we're going to have a party. A party that celebrates kindness instead of cruelty." Melanie then passes out boxes and markers and encourages her 18-year-olds to decorate them again just like they did when they were in elementary school. Some of her students think they're too cool to do it, so they just write their name on the box. But soon the class gets into it. Melanie also passes out hundreds of little pink squares of paper she had cut out the night before. And she tells them to write something positive and sincere to everyone in the class. "Even if it's someone you barely know," she said, "admire their fashion sense or their skill at basketball. Tell them you appreciate their friendly smile. Remind them of something fun you remember about them from grade school. And sign your name." In sharing this story with the Washington Post, Melanie reflected on these class parties over the years. Quote, "Former students have shared with me that they've hung on to their Valentines and sometimes read through them when they're feeling low. Parents have emailed me to tell me that the Valentine exchange boosted their child's self-confidence at a time when it was greatly needed. An especially sweet class had an artistic student draw me a Valentine of a queen with a caption, 'To the prettiest girl in the room,' and everyone signed it." That one still hangs next to my desk. After 20 years of teaching, I harbor few hopes that students will retain all of the vocabulary or grammar I taught them. Maybe they'll remember a book or two with some pleasure, or a fun and creative writing assignment. But if all a student recalls of one of my classes are the Valentines they received one long ago February, to me, that makes it all worthwhile." Like Melanie's senior class, sometimes we think we're too cool for these kind of parties. Or we think the idea of showing love to everyone doesn't really work. But it does. Because it's God's love. And we all need that. There is something revolutionary about loving your enemies. and giving Valentines to the entire class. It reminds us that God's grace is indeed for everyone, from the popular kid to the outsider to everyone in between. Jesus understood that. Melanie understood that. Her seniors understood that. And I hope that we understand it too. God's love changes us, and it can change others through us. So who will you reach out and love? Make sure you share it with the whole class. In the name of the one who embodied radical love, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.